You're listening to The Last Pew on Catholic Radio Indy 89.1 and 90.9 FM with Scott Williams, underwritten by Dant Insurance. LastPewRadio.com.
Welcome to the show. This is The Last Pew. My name is Scott Williams. Joining me today is Elizabeth Patterson.
Hi.
Father Bill Williams.
Hello.
And Mr. Robert Newport. Was there a second part to that?
Huh.
I like that.
All right.
Is that your trademark greeting?
It is today.
Yeah. It's beautiful.
Gosh.
Absolutely beautiful.
You know that... I love having Robert on the show because he always has
flash, something
to say.
Charm, character, color.
You know, Father Williams, not related. If you didn't catch last week's show,
that's right.
I want not to be associated with that.
Thank God for you, not being related to me.
Yeah. And Robert and I, we went out for a ice cold beverage. It was a soda pop.
Had a iced tea.
Soda pops.
Iced tea. Iced soda tea. Pop.
Went to the soda jerk down the street.
And water.
The soda jerk down the street. That's right.
And many of you at home, you probably went to restaurants, and whether it's your mom, your dad, your brother, whatever, you get some tube straws.
No, they're not called tube straws.
Nobody calls them tube
straws.
Sure, it's just a straw.
It's a straw.
Well, you're in the restaurant industry, there's different names for different straws.
There might be.
No,
if somebody says a straight up straw, then they mean the tube straw. Well, they don't specify.
See, now you just said straight up straw.
It's a straight up straw.
Just a straight up.
Nobody says straight up straw.
Straight up straw.
It's a straw. No, it's a straw.
No, what I'm saying is, if somebody wants a special bendy straw or a curly Q straw or whatever
crazy
kind of straws,
crazy straws,
they're going to specify that. If it's just a straw, nobody says.
I would argue that if you go to a cocktail bar, if you go to a cocktail lounge,
I've been to one or two.
If you say I want a straw, they'll give you a little sippy straw.
Maybe that's
which
why
also
the lady
works
was,
as a straw.
Maybe that's why the lady was so mad at you because you called it a to be straw.
Yeah, perhaps. I don't know why she was so upset. She was so stingy with her straws.
I think I know why.
I go to... we'll talk about that later. I think I know why. You're a jerk.
Do we need some anger resolution here?
Actually.
I got a paper there, right?
Wait, let's go back to last week's show, and what do we hope
what's
to
the
achieve?
Fair fight? What's
what
the fair fight? Yeah,
this?
What are you achieving? We're going to achieve that Robert's right.
That's right.
That's what we're going to try to achieve.
Right.
Robert is dead on.
I have proof.
What?
I am right.
What proof?
Yeah. So we go into the store. We go into the soda jerk, and I'm like, can I get some tubey straws?
And what were you doing with?
Did you say
tubey
or did you say tube straws?
I just said straws. I don't know what I said. I want some straws. And she says, well, how many do you need?
With that attitude?
Yeah
she kind of did. She kind of gave me some tubes.
Well, what were you doing with
I didn't
the
go to the bar
before?
with her. So
we were just drinking our soda jerks, our sodas.
I was.
We were at the soda jerk drinking
we're
our
not
sodas.
Drinking soda jerks. You jerk.
So yeah, just give me some straws. And she, how many do you need?
Did you say please?
We're not throwing straws around. I'm sure I said please. I feel like I'm a pretty polite guy most of the time, unless I'm around you guys.
Not typically.
Right.
Not
I haven't. I haven't found that.
I was saying typically you are a pretty nice guy. I was affirming you in your nicehood.
I thought you said not typically too. Weird. Yeah.
You sure about that?
We recorded this. I'll go back and check.
I hear you.
Court reporter. So I finally, she relinquishes the straws after much debate. Well, she kind of did. She was very stingy with the straws. I'm like, can I just have some straws? How many do you need? I don't know. Can I get five straws? She goes, five? Let's talk about the environment, buddy. I'm like, the environment? Like, I will... Oh my gosh, I'll take them down the road to Marsh and put them in the recycle bin if you're that worried about five straws.
I remember you saying this that night now because I said something
away.
About taking down a red fern in like Washington State or Oregon. Like, we're not tearing down a 300-year-old tree or something.
Exactly. I'm not pouring toxic waste in the sewer system. I'm not killing the fishies. So I'm like, can I please just have five straws? Because we were rolling them up, you know, and flicking the straws.
What?
Now, wait a minute.
Nice
I want on the record. I want on the record. And Scott, you have to agree with me on this. Even though we were having fun, we were not nearly into the tube straw flicking as much as Robert was into it.
Well, whatever.
Was way more into it. Way more into it.
But the only reason you're saying that is because you couldn't flick
it.
Now,
I know where you're going with this. And
you're trying to be cool.
I was trying. No, I was simply trying to build you up by making you look better.
That's awesome. That's what it was. I remember. This is my sequence of events, the way I remember it.
I went to socialize, not to play with tube straws all night long.
Right. Well, we finally finally got the straws with much ardor.
I really want you to use that word again, please. Incorporate it again for me.
Oh, yeah.
Sometimes I feel like Robert thinks of big words in his head, and he finds ways to use them in the sentence, and then he emphasizes the word when he uses it.
I rearranged the story around the words.
around the new word that he learned.
It's very, very difficult. So I get the straws, and we go back, and this is how I remember it. Father Williams, he says, roll that straw up. Let me show you how this done. So we're like, okay. So I think Scott rolls a straw, and he flicks it. And nothing happens. And then he's like,
you weren't holding
let's
it
see
right.
What you got, Newport. And then Scott rolls the straw up the exactly the same way.
And I'm a pro tube straw roller. I just want to say that people envied the way that I was able to roll a tube straw in high school.
He packed a lot of air.
I heard about it
Elizabeth,
on the north side.
That's one of the reasons Elizabeth.
I tracked him down.
Yeah. Good looks, stable future, good tube straw roller, all criteria that Elizabeth
first date criteria.
So here
right
we go
there.
With the tube straw thing again, but I got to move away from it.
Why?
But let's just emphasize that when I flicked it, I shredded it in half.
I did too.
I've never heard of this at all.
It was great.
You never rolled up a tube straw?
I only have one brother.
Oh, that's why.
I think what's important about this story is, you know, just the most random things can unite us together where we have an opportunity to build fraternity and talk about Christ. I think that's the
that's
point here.
Beautiful.
That was a nice segue, but I had one of my own.
Oh, cool. Awesome. Proceed.
I like that one.
Yeah.
Basketball, badminton, tube straw popping.
Right. But it was a way that we bonded and, we were able to flick the straws and cut them in half. Some of them were anyways. But
next time it's paper football.
You know, Robert was saying, he calls them tube straws. We call them something else. But do you ever just say things just because you're used to hearing them being said? The thing that really has been kind of on my mind lately is this idea of grace. And, you know, sometimes we say these things. Like we often hear, only by the grace of God was I able to do this or that. Or how'd you get an A on that test? Well, just by God's grace. Only in a moment of grace, we didn't get in a car crash. Whatever. Or amazing grace, my favorite song.
Go on. I was getting into that.
Sing it, brother.
But what exactly is grace? Grace. I feel like there's so many different ways to describe grace, how we receive grace, what grace is. And sometimes it just sounds like grace is luck or grace is how God does nice things for you. But, you know, the more I was looking into this, that's not it at all. Am I right?
Right.
So the way that I see grace is the things that God that the way that we're able to receive God's grace is what we are able to receive to help us overcome the evil one. Is that fair?
Yeah. By the way, the other word that I always say that everybody just sort of uses all the time is hope. I hope I get this, or I hope that happens, and we don't really know what it honestly means. And so grace is similar, but you know, what's interesting, I'm going to throw another word at you too, is justification. The church teaches that grace and justification go together. Justification is when God takes our sin away from us. God gives us the grace, which is the unwarranted help that he gives us to do something that's virtuous, something that's good, that allows us to ultimately be his children, act like his children in the world.
So when you say justification, you mean like going to reconciliation. So I receive God's grace through the sacrament of reconciliation, and right. Through that I've been...
So when somebody asks you, have you been justified? Well, we certainly have the hope of justification, but by the very grace of God to do what's good and do what's right, part of that is to be reconciled to him, yes. So when we talk about that.
When I think of justification, I think of a reason to allow myself to do something. So I justify my actions.
I'm going to justify my actions, yeah.
Does that relate?
Well, it would be more so that God is the one who justifies us going to heaven.
So he's justifying our sanctification through the sacrament of reconciliation.
Yes.
Bam!
That was beautiful.
That was beautiful. Well, it was beautiful until you did that.
That was beautiful, Polly. Yeah.
So God gives us, he gives us the free gift of his help.
Free?
Well, it's freely given.
We don't have to pay.
It is ultimately paid by him.
It's already been paid for. You didn't pay it. It's like someone bought your tube straw drinks at the soda jerk. That's what it's like.
I know we're scratching.
Making sure that I got my tube straw.
We're just scratching the surface here, but we've got to take a quick break. We'll be right back after this.
Hi, this is Chris Dant with the Dant Insurance Company. Dant Insurance is proud to sponsor and underwrite Catholic Radio Indy's The Last Pew with Scott Williams. Dant Insurance will back you with 33 years of experience with multi-line insurance programs. We offer auto, home, life, health, and business insurance programs. If you'd like to discuss your insurance needs with me, I can be reached at 783-3303. That's 783-3303.
For 2,000 years, we've helped the poor and comforted the sick. We've educated generations of children, developed the scientific method and college system. We support marriage and human life. Guided by the Holy Spirit, we compiled the Bible. We are the Catholic Church, with over 1 billion in our family, sharing in the fullness of Christian faith in the church started by Jesus. If you've been away, visit CatholicsComeHome.org today. Welcome home.
You're listening to The Last Pew on Catholic Radio Indy, 89.1 and 90.9 FM, with Scott Williams, lastpewradio.com.
Hi, friends. Welcome back to the show. This is The Last Pew. My name is Scott Williams. Joining me on today's episode is Elizabeth Patterson.
Hello.
Father Bill Williams.
Hello.
And Robert Newport.
Why are you talking like that?
I don't know. Just mixing it up a little bit.
Okay. Okay, I'll go with
you're
it.
Freaking me out.
Well, I was trying to give you guys some extra time because I naturally talk a little bit faster than the average human person. So when I talk in this tone,
it slows you down.
It slows me down a little bit, and I know that you guys are frantically researching things. Father is frantically on his iPhone researching, I believe, justification.
We're looking up the catechism,
And Robert's on his phone. What are you looking up?
Oh, I was confirming that tube straws, in fact, look like and are described as I describe them. And they are. Thank you. We can move on. You're all
so forgiven. They're plastic tubes that we drink through. Yep. I realize that we all understand that. It's just nobody refers to them as tube straws.
Well, apparently
straws.
Google Images does.
Okay, so we were talking about grace. What is grace? How do we receive God's grace? How much does it cost? What do we do with God's grace? All that, because I have no idea, but it's kind of, it seems to keep on coming up. And I think part of it is, just, you know, hearing people in discussion, hearing it on the radio, grace seems to be the excuse and the exception for everything that, that happens in the world. And, you know, to an extent that makes sense, but I don't always understand it. And I think it's because it's a supernatural thing. Maybe we're not necessarily meant to understand it, but you brought up that not only grace but also justification,
right?
And I have no idea what that means.
Well, justification, since I've looked it up here in the catechism so I could clarify it for
yes,
you.
Yes, Father, thank you.
It says the grace of the Holy Spirit has the power to justify us, that is to cleanse us of our sins and to communicate the righteousness of God. So
can you say that one more time?
I would love to. The grace of the Holy Spirit has the power to justify us, that is, to cleanse us from our sins and to communicate to us the righteousness of God.
See, when I think of justification, I think of, I did this, I'm going to justify my actions because, and I'm going to defend it through right. this.
But here's the thing, though.
What does God mean?
God justifies us. So God is the one who cleanses us of our sins. So when you talk about justification and grace going together, the way we are justified is through the gift of grace, in which if justification is to take away our sins, God cleanses us of our sins through justification. That justifies us going to eternal life, gives us hope of eternal life in heaven. So grace is the free gift that God gives to us to live as his children in the world, to seek virtue, to seek what is good. And then through that, then, when we cooperate with the grace of God, we are justified by his help in our lives.
All right, let me pick He's up what you're throwing down here.
Please do. Are you picking up what I'm putting down?
Let me smell what you're stepping in.
He's sponging what he's spilling.
I was just about ready to pull that one out.
What did you say?
Sponging what he's spilling.
Let me sponge what you're spilling. All right. So you're saying...
Go for it, brother.
...that grace is a gift that God gives me,
mm-hmm.
a repentant sinner.
Mm-hmm.
A sinner.
Right.
We'll just say sinner.
Okay.
So God gives me grace.
Yes, sir.
Because I'm a sinner, and because of God's grace, that justifies me going to heaven.
Well, you always have to remember, you're made in the image of God. So by virtue of being made
then
in the
God
image...
Then God is beautiful.
Then,
wow.
I'm going to go ahead and step back for just a minute while the lightning strikes right here in this room. God is beautiful because I am.
I didn't say that. You said that.
No. let's go back to tube straws. So
I would like to point out, I think this is the first time anybody's ever read the catechism on my show.
I thought this was supposed to be Catholic programming here. I mean,
it's definitely Catholic. You know,
it took a while to build up to it.
Well, I wasn't going to sit here and quote it because that's kind of boring to sit and quote it, but... I don't know what I was talking about now.
You have to remember. Something.
Oh, you're made in the image of God. So God is the one then. When you're made in the image of God, you have to have a free will because God freely makes us. So you have to then freely open yourself to the grace that he gives to us. And so he gives to us at our baptism sanctifying grace, which sanctifies us. That's a habitual gift, meaning it's a gift that comes and stays with us in which God gives us a participation in the divine life. So that we can grow in holiness, so that we can become more Christ-like.
What if we don't want to accept it?
Well, that is given.
Because it's hard.
Yes, but...
Oh, sanctifying, it's given, we don't have to ask
for it. And our baptism, yeah, that would be an occasion which it's given in baptism. So actual grace would be when God gives you the help that you need in a particular circumstance or situation in one's life.
What?
So
okay. Yeah, that's good. That's good stuff.
So actual grace.
Yes.
That would be like me saying, or God saying to me, hey, go do this.
Well, it would be God, when we seek the help of God or the grace of God, sort of intervening in our lives to help us to do good. Remember, the grace of God is intended to help us to do good in mm-hmm. some way. And so actual grace is... The grace, for example, you seek the actual grace that you need as a man to get married. What's the grace that you need that comes, yes, the sanctifying grace to make you holy, mm-hmm. to make you more Christ-like, mm-hmm. but also then in particular to help you in a particular situation in your relationship. So you seek the graces of God in actual circumstances, interventions, if you will, in your life in which he helps you to do the good, to do something that's virtuous.
So the opposite of actual grace would not be fake grace.
It would be denying that grace.
So sanctifying grace and actual grace are not mutually exclusive.
You need both.
Yeah, I mean, you wouldn't be able to open yourself to the actual grace of God without sanctifying grace.
Well, I find it that we've been given a lot of grace in our state right now just to pursue...
Actual grace?
Actual grace. Pursue a virtuous relationship in a marriage, that it's not gotten any easier. It's not gotten any, just the things that we're confronted in our culture and our society to keep a relationship based on trust and mutual love and sacrifice. We've needed that grace to be able to pursue that. So I've felt like I've seen God more help us more. But we've also had to cooperate more and open ourselves up more to that grace.
Right. And when you talk about sanctifying grace that's given to you, and it's a habitual gift, like constant, well, what you have to recognize is you have to keep yourself constantly open to be renewed in that grace. And that then, in turn, helps us not only to become more Christ-like, but then in the course of our lives... it opens us then to the actual graces that we need from God in daily life to do particular things in our lives. So you see how both the sanctifying and the actual maybe I could say complement one another or build off of one another.
All right. We got to take a quick break. This is, I just find this fascinating. Very fascinating stuff. We'll be right back.
Hi, this is Chris Dant with the Dant Insurance Company. Dant Insurance is proud to sponsor and underwrite Catholic Radio Indy's The Last Pew with Scott Williams. Dant Insurance will back you with 33 years of experience with multi-line insurance programs. We offer auto, home, life, health, and business insurance programs. If you'd like to discuss your insurance needs with me, I can be reached at 783-3303. That's 783-3303.
The Last Pew is underwritten in part by the We Believers Toy Company, makers of innovative gifts and toys helping children grow in virtue, build character, and energize their passion for God, all while having fun. Best known for their innovative Lil Prayer Buddy praying plush, including the award-winning Louis the Lamb that recites the Our Father, Hail Mary, and Glory Be with the push of a button. We Believers toys are available at the Celtic Cross, the Village Dove, and other local stores, and online at WeBelievers.com.
You're listening to The Last Pew with Scott Williams on Catholic Radio Indy, 89.1 and 90.9 FM.
Welcome back to the show. This is The Last Pew. My name is Scott Williams. Joining me today is Elizabeth Patterson. I don't have to figure out your name. It's going to change very quickly. Elizabeth Patterson, soon to be Williams, Father Bill Williams.
Heidi Ho.
And Robert Newport.
You know, in a few months, there'd be three Williamses in this room.
Hey!
How about that?
Who's
left out?
Well, riddle me this. If the two become one, would there still only be two Williamses in this room?
Yes. Yeah, there would.
Not that the show wasn't already deep. We just got a little deeper.
That is so beautiful.
I practiced writing it last week.
Oh, you did?
Mm-hmm.
Williams?
Yeah.
It's difficult, isn't it?
It's kind of hard, yeah.
What?
You don't even write your name, though. Like,
I just do like the W. And then the L's, and then the rest of it's just like
straight. He crosses his L's.
You cross your L's.
I got a
those are called T's.
it's
L's that are crossed.
All right, so you know
T's.
He's Williams.
Sometimes in the process of dotting my I's, and when I mean sometimes, I mean always. I don't lift up my pen, so it
he
goes from
I with.
I go to dot my I's, and in the process it crosses the T's.
Like, and you're marrying this man.
We have to sign our names exactly Elizabeth. The same.
No, what?
No.
The two become one.
We have to sign our name exactly
you
the
have
same.
To,
well,
you
my
have
thing
to cross
is, I've
got to
figure
L's.
Out how my W is going to look. Do I want a big, fancy one? Do I want...
How do you normally do your W?
You never
frankly,
write a
I don't
capital W in Spanish. You just
type it. Where did that just come from?
Spanish. By Spanish, I mean cursive.
Okay. Oh my goodness. I was like, what in the world just happened right there?
Gringo loco.
You know how I usually type my W's? Shift W.
Okay. Can you guys write in cursive?
Yeah, yes. My name.
Your name.
I can write in cursive if I do it very slowly. I mean,
they're going to stop teaching cursive in schools.
They
did you know
can't.
That?
I thought they already did.
Well, we're teaching
and then they
ours.
Went back.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I think you're right.
So I can write in cursive. But I never really could, so it was still the level of third grade. So I stopped as soon as I could because it was just very, very difficult. Couldn't read what I was writing. Didn't make any sense. But, you know, sometimes stop.
We're signing right. Our signatures, folks at home.
Yeah. Father Williams is just...
Oh, that's nice.
Father Williams' signature is just a little smiley face.
I like that one.
It's just easy. You do the W, the I, the L's, the
like
I's.
It looks like a big sideways S.
And yeah. There's my S.
It looks like a capital S sideways.
That's my full name right
well, can
there.
Can we take a picture of that? Put it on the website.
Yeah, let's do that.
Let's put that on the website.
This is making for some killer radio.
I'm going to have to charge you for my autograph to be on your website.
Yeah, somebody's going to falsify some sort of church document, and Father Williams, it's going to be a signature.
No. Free graces for everybody.
All right.
It's beautiful.
Only
by God's grace are we able to read your handwriting.
See, no, because that's not something virtuous, so he's not necessarily going to give you the grace to do that.
That's what I'm saying, though. It's like we use these terms all the time without actually knowing what they mean or how it helps us to live more virtuous lives. And, you know, Father Williams, you told me once in spiritual direction that grace builds virtue.
Did I?
You did.
That sounds.
Does that
really
sound
awesome.
Like something you'd say?
Sounds, that sounds really awesome.
It's probably symbiotic, yeah. Right? Symbiotic. That's a big word. Grace builds virtue, and then virtue builds grace too. Right?
Can you build grace?
It's a.
So like by receiving God's grace, whether by receiving God's grace, sanctifying grace, it helps us to live virtuous lives. So if we continue to go to the sacrament of reconciliation, if we continue to worthily receive the Eucharist through that sanctifying grace, it helps us to build virtue.
Right. And so sanctifying grace, if you think when something's sanctified, it's made holy. So we're given this to help us to be holy, to be Christ-like in our lives. And so then he gives us, God gives to us then the things that we need. Sanctifying grace would draw us, if you will, sort of into the divine life, because that's where sanctity comes from, obviously. But then he gives us the actual graces that we need to accomplish good things, to do good things, what is right.
You're not going to read from the catechism.
I'm not going to.
All right, you're looking at it. Be careful.
Why do you point these things out? I'm reading a text.
That man's reading from a COD.
I have. I got another text. I actually did get another text.
All right. So this is the question I want to wrap up our show with. Where have you actually seen God's grace in the most literal sense of actual grace? Not like, oh, we missed the train and that kept us from getting in a car wreck kind of thing.
Have I will tell you asking me or are you asking all of us?
Well, you've talked a lot, so I was going to go with Robert.
Okay.
And then we'll come back to you.
Okay. Oh gosh, where have I seen God's grace? I tell you, in conversion stories, you know, these people that, I met a woman, she had an abortion and she talked about her conversion to becoming pro-life and coming to the Catholic Church. And I sum it up to God's grace. You look at people that slowly go back to the church or meet people like Father Williams that are just so evangelical and have that knack for sucking people back in.
Yeah, there's holy rage just coming right off of his head.
Did you say holy rage?
Raise.
Oh, raise. Holy, yeah, raise. Holy rage.
But those, I see God's grace in conversion stories.
Okay.
That's where I seem to enjoy those types of stories the most.
Elizabeth?
Again, I just see it in marriage prep and in the couples that we've been able to meet and in our own relationship being open to where God wants us to go.
Yeah.
Really. It's not the most tangible thing to talk about, but...
And it's definitely not tangible, and it's difficult to see God's grace, accept God's grace, and be able to just realize that it is God's grace. But I think God's grace has really helped me to be more open. So in the past, I've always been kind of close-minded. I've, I've been set in my ways. This is my way or the highway. But God's grace has kind of really opened my heart. It helps me to see, walk a mile in someone else's shoes. It helps me to be able to experience someone else's life, someone else's conversion story, and to know them a little bit more. What about you, Father Williams?
I will tell you that I can say, honestly, it is by the grace of God that I have been able to do anything I've been able to do as a priest. Mm. There are things that, and I don't mean
including
that.
Including like becoming a priest?
Yeah. But I would also say, though, that things that before I was ordained might have been, I would almost be frightened of being with somebody who's dying or their family and not knowing where to go with that. It is by the grace of God to be able to do something for them, to say something or to simply be there for them, which I would not have been able to do before. Before I was always like, as we talked about previously, about being an extrovert, like you feel like you've got to say something, you've got to do something, and sometimes it's as simple as let's just be there and honestly let the love and the peace of God sort of ring in those moments.
So sometimes God allows us to do things that we normally wouldn't be able to do through his grace.
Well, exactly.
So on that note, we've got to call it a day. This is the end of the show. Thank you for joining us on The Last Pew. Elizabeth, Father Williams, Robert, as always, thanks for joining us. And we'll see you right here next week on The Last Pew.